Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text, Isaiah 51 verses 4 through 6, is actually the second paragraph of a three-paragraph sermon that Isaiah preaches in chapter 51 verses 1 through 8. And it would be great if you guys want to take out your Bibles and look at those as I'm talking. It's a blessedly small, short sermon in which I found enormous comfort. Now, to explain how I get any comfort at all from Isaiah, I need to begin at the opening line of the sermon. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek Yahweh, Isaiah says. Now, at first glance, I thought I could assume that Isaiah was talking to me even as he addressed this congregation of Israel. I assumed an easy relevance of his message. But as I listened more, I had my doubts. You see, he's not really talking to me. Most commentaries say, in fact, that he's addressing some committed Israelites of his day, God-fearers who obeyed Yahweh and desired to keep his commandments, unlike so many of the rebellious people around them. Nevertheless, I was interested in what Isaiah said to them. As I said, Isaiah was preaching at a time when Israel continually disobeyed God's law. By and large, they worshiped false gods or worshiped the true God falsely. They lived immoral lives. Moses had warned the people long ago that God would bless them if they kept his commandments, but that he would curse them if they refused to listen to his voice. And now, those curses that Moses warned them about were hanging over the heads of everyone. Now, you would think that when addressing some committed pursuers of righteousness and true seekers of Yahweh, Isaiah would encourage them to continue the pursuit. You would think that he would reinforce Moses' instruction and assure them of God's blessings for their obedience. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't tell them that they are on the right track and God is really quite pleased with what they're about. He doesn't urge them to walk in the law of the Lord so that God will bless them. There's not even a single, if you do this, then God will do this for you clause in that entire sermon. In fact, he overlooks Mosaic law entirely and skips all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. He reminds his congregation of what God did for Abraham. Remember that Abraham was one person when I called him, Isaiah says. That is, God called him, and as we all know, God gave Abraham a promise. That's why Isaiah says that God called Abraham for the very purpose of blessing him and multiplying him. Now, if I'm understanding Isaiah correctly, he wants his hearers to remember that when God chose Abraham, he put no conditions on his blessing. God gave Abraham a blessing before he was a pursuer of righteousness, before he was a seeker of Yahweh, before he kept the law. God just chose him and blessed him freely while Abraham was still a sinner. And as Moses himself tells us, Abraham believed Yahweh and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. In other words, Isaiah wanted Israel to remember that from the very beginning, it was Yahweh who found them. And it was righteousness that came to them without Abraham pursuing it. God made Abraham a promise, and God delivered on his promise over and over again, in fact. Isaiah then connects the dots for his congregation by telling them what this means for them. It means that God has not and will not break his promise, no matter what the people are facing in the present time, whether they are forsaken, broken, lost, under judgment, or in the middle of a pandemic exile, because they are Abraham's children. They are heirs of God's promise of salvation. And that's why Isaiah tells them, certainly Yahweh will comfort Zion. Certainly he will comfort all their desolate places. What a promise to make in the midst of their adversity. Read the rest of the verse yourself. promise after promise to Abraham's offspring, his people. He promises them the very Garden of Eden, quite apart from the law and their righteous pursuits within the law, promises that God had not forsaken them, promises assuring them that the blessings God promised to Abraham and his offspring would most certainly be theirs. But as I said, Isaiah addresses the people of Israel, the people of Zion. God chose Abraham. God chose Isaac, not Ishmael. God chose Jacob, not Esau. I'm from a nation and people on the outside of all that choosing by God. So naturally, I have a question. Is there any word from God left for me? More to the point, is there any word from God left for you? Any crumb of blessing for us to hang on to? Or does God turn a blind eye to us because we are, after all, not his people? Well, that brings me to the second paragraph of Isaiah's sermon, and something interesting. Up to this point, Isaiah has been preaching to Israel about Yahweh. But right in the middle of the sermon, Isaiah stops talking about Yahweh. In fact, it looks like he stops talking completely. Unexpectedly, there is this change of speakers. It is as if Yahweh himself takes the pulpit. I take it as an indication that my question is so important that God decides to answer it himself. And so he starts talking directly, not to Israel, but to people outside of Israel, the rest of the world. Give attention to me, my people, and my nation. To me, lend an ear, he begins. Now, you see, that's interesting. He uses a word usually reserved for non-Israelites, my nation, and lumps us with my people. Now, to hear the power of what he says next, I need to point out that when you see the word law and the word justice in verse 4 and the word judge in verse 5, don't think Mosaic legislation, court of law, condemnation, judgment, uncertainty according to how you've behaved, anything like that. In this context, those translations drain God's message of its power. Instead of the word law, think all of God's revelation to his people. That's what Torah is, after all. Instead of justice and judge, think of words like deliverance, as it is used in the book of Judges, salvation, forgiveness, not justice, but justification. As you can see in the sermon, God is not directing us back to Mosaic law and urging us to take that up too. But he is promising that righteousness and salvation are coming apart from the law. God himself says, my righteousness is near. My salvation has come out, and my arms will deliver the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. That's his redeeming arms, not the accusing fist of the law, not a reimposition of Moses. Just like Yahweh did for Abraham, our righteousness and our salvation is coming from God to us by way of a promise. It is not a matter of us pursuing it. It's just the other way around. The way of righteousness flows in exactly the opposite direction of how we normally think it flows and how we normally operate in our lives. We don't earn it. It comes to us. Now, does this promise that Yahweh himself makes about salvation really apply to us? Does it really hold true? Well, the Apostle Paul has no qualms about the answer. He's quite sure about God's righteousness. So he makes this famous promise. But now, he says, you can underline now, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Then he says this, for there is no distinction. Holy cow. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that God promised in the book of Isaiah that he promised was coming has now come. And we hear it We are all justified freely as a gift through the redemption of Jesus. That word all, it has to include you and me. God's promise is for us too, and there it is. You have just received God's promise of righteousness. It has come from the mouth of God himself to the pen of the preacher Paul through my poor lips to you. The righteousness of God, forgiveness and salvation wrapped up in the words of a promise, just like Isaiah promised the children of Abraham and Sarah. You and I get the same promise. This is salvation and righteousness completely unhinged from Moses' law. It is freely bestowed on us even now at this very moment. You just heard it. It is so amazing for me to think that at the end of the day, God's righteousness comes near to me and you personally through the unclean lips of a humble preacher proclaiming the good news of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. God brings his salvation through the gospel that I preach and the gospel that you preach. This is the greatest of miracles and mystery. When the preacher says, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," there you have God's salvation freely given. God declares you righteous right there. He has made you an unshakable promise, and he will most certainly, as Isaiah said, most certainly keep it. This gospel word is a mighty thing. Without it, you will find only a silent, judging, condemning God. With it, you will find eternal mercy in the midst of wrath, life in the midst of death, a God who is for you, not against you. Now, this is so great to hear that in case you don't get it right now, you're going to get it again in just a few minutes at the Lord's table. God will keep his word. That's what he does for his Israel. Even in death, even when the world ends, as Isaiah's little sermon says, God's love for you will not. Isaiah says this twice at the end of our text and at the end of his little sermon. My righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. That's an amazing promise. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.